It's a long grinding season, and you know, we wanted a late bye. You know, I'd rather have it now than week four. So, I mean, I got no complaints about that. You know, just wish we would have stayed a little healthier leading up to this, but this gives us a chance to the guys that were kind of banged up to where they probably wouldn't have played this week. Now we got a shot to get more guys ready to go for the next one. I think it's really for us, it's get healthy as much as we can. And if we can find a way to kind of clean up our red area stuff on offense, eliminate the explosive plays on defense. I know that sounds like a broken record, but that's what this season's about, is can we get those type of things fixed to give ourselves a chance that week to win? And it becomes a one-game season. I mean, there are certain teams where we know that have kind of separated themselves from the rest of the pack, but right now the only thing that's really been eliminated for us is an undefeated season. Everything else is on the table. I mean, other teams are having a lot of the same issues we are, and it's really who can pull it together this last six games and find a way to get in.
Adam Gase talking about everything with the Miami Dolphins right now, going on a bye week at this point after that Green Bay game. Don't forget, join Channing Crowder and the WQAM Street Team this Thursday night, 8 p.m. at Bocaber Sports Grill in Miramar. Watch the game, register to win a game day experience with Channing, and enjoy the whiskey specials.
All right, and speaking of Adam Gase, yeah, he's got to score some touchdowns offensively. The nine-quarter drought. And figure a way to get better in the red zone. Got great field position this last game and couldn't do anything but kick field goals. The run defense is dead last. And so those things, just a few things that...
Everything sounds positive.
It's not even about cleaning up. It's just...
Well, it is cleaning up a little bit, right? There's a lot of things that you just said that were not very positive.
Well, I just don't my question I have going ahead is, how good is the overall talent of the team? Yeah, the injury bug, there's nothing you can do. The 6, 7, 8 guys that are out, and you're going to most likely get both your tackles and your guard back to give you more depth. And, by the way, the offensive line in the last game, I was glad to hear Adam Gase say nice things, because they played their ass off last game. That is the best that group, as negative as everything was on offense in the last game. The five guys that should get a complete hall pass have played their best football. I'd love to see how they graded out. I thought that offensive line played great. I really do. And I mean great, not like they're one of the best offensive lines, but considering they'd never played together, you'll find out in some cases a day before the game you're going to be playing, and you got in there, and that group, they did a nice job. One guy just fresh off IR, playing left guard, and your two backup tackles who have been inactive and kind of rotating who's active and not active, that group played like a lot better than I thought they could even potentially play. The O-line coach, those guys ought to be really pleased with the way they
play. But the average fan sees 6 sacks and doesn't think a offensive line plays well when they see that.
I think most people that watch the game are going, throw it! They got to throw it! Get rid of it! You're just holding it back there. Throw it.
Well, Brock has regressed. We've seen it from the first game till this last one.
He did. He took a full step back.
Yep, I agree.
And it's time.
Brock is Brock.
Either Ryan Tannehill or I'm with everybody else. Give David Fales a shot to play if Tannehill's not ready for this game. And he started his toss program with watched and monitored by coaches and doctors to see and try to get healthy enough and enough velocity on his throws for next week to be able to play against the Colts indoors and everything else. So hopefully they get some things, get some guys healthy, and we'll see where they are. I mean, they've just been getting their butts kicked on the road. I mean, just ask, you know, you had a 17-0 lead and couldn't hold that.
That was the worst one.
By the way, that's been the biggest disappointment on the road has been the second half of how they played. Kind of hang around in the first half and maybe early in the third, kind of make a play or two to kind of give you hope. And then the next thing you know, you're down double digit. You're down 3 scores. It's just, you know, it just gets really frustrating, and it's the other team making all the plays and their offense and their defense getting stops, and the Dolphins get close and their defense falls apart and gives up an easy touchdown. And so anyway, just trying to figure a way. All I know is you got to score a touchdown at some point. It's embarrassing. 9 quarters without a touchdown is just embarrassing. It's embarrassing in a league full of scoring. It's embarrassing.
KC is averaging almost 40 points a game.
Oh, there's some teams. The Saints.
Saints are close to that as well, I'm sure.
Even the Brady Bunch are putting up good numbers no matter who's playing there. Anyway, we got a lot of other stuff coming up here. Dennis Todd's going to join us. We're going to talk some college football coming up here in the next segment. Man, we got so much stuff. Actually, big day in Pittsburgh today, and it will be the biggest national story today as well. It's at 4 o'clock. It is the deadline, and we don't usually talk about this because it doesn't happen very often, where a really good football player is going to make a decision whether he's going to sign his franchise tag today, and if he doesn't, he is officially out for the year, which means he would have forfeited more than $14 million and had a chance, by the way, to go to a really good team, and he's going to pass. All kinds of it. They're saying now they're reporting unlikely he'll report by today's 4 Eastern time deadline.
It's the weirdest situation I've seen in football in a long time.
He's got to sign his franchise tender to play this season, which, by the way, is $14.5 million. Which is even more, we talked about it so much, it's embarrassing. $855,000 a game.
Weekly.
I
just don't know how, you said it all the time, he's not making that money up.
A lot of damn money, man.
Well, I just don't understand what the thinking is behind this.
Well, you know the thinking. Well, I just disagree with it.
Yeah, but the thinking
is about staying healthy.
So go in there and play. Contract. You already told them what you don't want to do. You don't want to play. You don't want to carry the ball 30 times a game. You don't want to do this and that. They already said fine. Plus, you go in there right now. That's not going to happen. They're not just going to bench James Conner.
Right.
James Conner's having a good season, a really good season. So you go in there. You should have seen this 3 weeks ago.
How much does he really want to play?
That's the question.
If he's really that worried about getting injured, and I would also ask him, and I'd love to ask his agent, how do you plan on getting that $14.5 million at age 26? Like, running backs don't – this is not other sports where you play till you're 35 or 40, unless you're Frank Gore. I mean, he wants to get paid. You just – $14 million.
It's a lot of money to give up.
After taxes, that's still a lot of money.
Yeah.
And you're going to just skip on it so you can say I'm healthy for the next team. You never get it back. The next team's not writing you a check going, hey, by the way, we'll pick up what you would have got from the Steelers as well. We'll put that on top in a signing bonus. Just doesn't work that way.
I question his feeling of playing football right now. That's what it is.
I hear a guy that worried about getting injured. Most guys that play don't think about getting injured. You start thinking about getting injured, and you start playing like you're worried about getting
injured.
Well,
you're done mentally
at that point. You're going to get injured. I don't get it. It'll be an interesting one to see what happens. And I know you want to get paid. I do. And you want to be healthy. And you want to make sure you're not damaged goods. And he'll play now, next year at 27, 28, 29, hoping to get a 3 or 4 year contract from somebody. But does it help that you sit out a year?
No.
And then
what is that helping?
Well, he's going to go to any team next year.
Well, he's definitely going to any team. Whoever offers the most money.
He's going to go Jarvis Landry on you.
Yeah.
He's going to take whoever gives the money because this is my last shot to get big dollars, which I got no problem with. He wants to get paid, but part of you always plays to want to get a championship. And boy,
I don't think he cares about that.
Pittsburgh's got a chance. I'm not saying they're the favorite. But they're going to have a chance,
of course,
to get to a Super Bowl. Now, we've said it the last couple of years, and they've come up short.
Well, they don't have to worry about Jacksonville this year.
Playing really, really well. And they're going to be one of the favorites in the AFC. They keep winning. But, man, that's a weird one.
Well, he's a mercenary. Everyone knows that.
Weird one to keep an eye on the way he's handled it and upside-down messages. And you couldn't make half this stuff up. And then he's back. I thought he's coming back to sign. and said he was back in Pittsburgh. Who knows? I don't know.
He's at a spinning class.
Spinning class.
That's
somewhere.
What he's doing right
he's
now.
He's in Orange Theory spinning class.
That's it.
Downtown Pittsburgh.
Down the street from Heinz Field while everyone's driving to work, he's out in that window where you can see everyone driving by, and he's waving to the players.
What do you think the fan base, when they see him,
I don't think the fan base is happy with this guy.
You don't think?
Yeah, I would assume, right?
You don't think they have sympathy for a guy going to making almost $1 million a game?
Not in that town. No. Look what happened down here. And the only example I could use is the Ricky thing, but Ricky left the country. But Ricky, at that point, was the best or top two or three running backs in the whole league at that point. The entire offense was based around I know Dave Wonsett had to have cried in the back room because he built the offense around that guy at the time. But he left and just wanted to smoke pot and not play football anymore.
He had a big contract waiting on the
table. Huge!
Big contract was going to make him the highest paid running back in the game, and he just, whatever happened.
He didn't care about football, and it doesn't look like Le'Veon Bell cares about anything but money.
But Ricky,
there's the difference.
But Ricky ends up coming back a couple years later.
It still was pretty productive.
It's pretty good for a couple years there. That was, that was a whole different strange story in itself right there.
But this is kind of strange also, don't you think? I mean, it's not going to Indian smoking pot in a tent. I understand that.
We have not seen a player this good sit out a full season in a long time.
Emmitt Smith was the last person to do something like this, but he lasted 3 weeks, I believe.
I'm talking about sitting out a full season.
Yeah, this is different.
Somebody will have it on the website, the last guy to sit out a full season because he didn't like his contract.
It'll be texted in soon. Don't worry.
It doesn't happen very often, though. No. I don't know when the last time was, but it doesn't happen very often. Hey, anyway, Dennis Dodd's going to join us coming up. We're going to talk some college football, a lot of stuff to get to, including Kelly Bryant. The Kelly Bryant Tour is coming to Miami.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Let's head out to that Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. Let's talk to national college football writer for CBSSports.com, Dennis Dodd. Good morning, Dennis. How are you?
Joe, good morning. How are you? How are you?
We're doing great. And got to ask you, man, we got so much to talk about. I'm going to start with Alabama. Who has the best shot to beat Alabama? I'm going to give you four picks here. Georgia, Notre Dame, Clemson, or Michigan? What's the best matchup?
I think Clemson matches up best with them, just because they have, you know, the talent. I think, I don't know, matches up. They have a talent close to it. They have a difference-making quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. The defensive line is the best in the country, and this is what they recruit and coach to. When Kelly Bryant left, I kept saying this: it was a loss, but they recruited and signed Trevor Lawrence because he'd get three shots at Alabama conceivably in the playoff. And this is exactly what looks like what's going to happen.
All right, the Final Four or the rankings come out tonight. Any changes to last week's that you see?
No, I think it'll be in the exact order it was last week, which would mean for the sixth time in the history of the college football playoff, you would have back-to-back top fours the same. And it would go along with kind of the theme of the season that, you know, it's just been a year of chalk. Not much has moved beyond Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Michigan, I guess, is the outlier in this top four right now.
Dennis, you brought up a name a second ago, Kelly Bryant, when you're talking about Clemson. He's on the tour, tour of where he's going to play, and apparently Miami Hurricanes are interested. What do you think about Kelly Bryant, and how much of an upgrade is he for anybody or any of these teams that are interested in him?
Considering the problems Miami has had completing passes, I think he'd be a tremendous upgrade. I'm a little bit curious at this tour he's had. You know, I know he went to Arkansas, Missouri, North Carolina, and now he's going to Miami. I would have just almost assumed that he would start, and I think he's going to Auburn too, he would start with championship program that allowed him a chance to start right away. Missouri doesn't fit that bill. Arkansas and North Carolina don't. Miami and Auburn make more sense because, you know, there could be a spot at Miami. There is going to be a spot, it looks like, at Auburn, and you would consider those, you know, more championship programs than those other three I mentioned. So, you know, I can't read tea leaves for the kid because it looks like he just wants to play somewhere instead of compete for a championship, but I'd have to give Miami a good shot.
All right, so Mark Richt, if he can get Kelly in here, he's going to have to do some damage control with some other the other guys.
Oh,
right?
They're gone.
Yeah.
They're gone. He brings them in. It's all almost automatic.
You got a true freshman who hasn't played this year. Yes. You got Nikosi Perry, who's played in some games this year. Mark Richt's going to have to be on full damage control to even save any of those guys, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think you would see he could save one of them. Obviously not both.
Yeah, that would be an interesting one. Hey, you know, I went to Dennis. I went to ACC meetings. I've been the last couple years, but about 3 years ago, I went. I was really surprised. I don't know what the relationship is with some of the national media guys and Bobby Petrino, but boy, some of the guys I was with, without saying their names, just have not had a great relationship with him. I don't know. You're already laughing. What your relationship with him? Were you surprised that he was fired by Louisville? And is he that bad a guy?
No, I mean, well, first answer your first question. No, if he's that bad a guy, I don't know if I've ever met a more gruff coach in college. I guess, but look, that's not our job.
No. Well, it is. It's today. No, I totally agree. But I was surprised. I was talking to him, of course, you know, he was interested in doing some recruiting through the radio down here, so I get what I was about. But I was just, I thought it was interesting. Those guys, who are all good guys, they're all national guys like you, just like, I haven't had a great relationship with them. That's all. I'm not trying to get it to trash him.
From the human being standpoint, we know how he left Arkansas. We know how he's treated some of his assistant coaches. I'll tell you an interesting story. I went down to Western Kentucky that year. He started his comeback from Arkansas and went out to lunch with him. We sat in the middle of the restaurant, a crowded restaurant at noon. He answered every question, all the tough questions. I went back to his office, and at one point he started to get emotional and teared up. He looked up above his desk, picture of his son, and he goes, that was the hardest thing. And I said, what? And he said his son walking across campus and people making fun of him after his dad got fired. Oof. And that was the only time I'd ever seen the guy open up just even a little bit. And other than that, you know, there's no love lost, I guess, between media and Bobby Petrino. But look, when you make $4 or $5 million a year, somehow I think he can handle it and get $14 million to walk away.
That's true.
I don't feel bad at all, Dennis. Last number, now I'm pissed. There we go.
Make sure you add that caveat at the end of that. All right, here we go. UCF, bring all the TV trucks, bring all the media. It's their biggest day maybe in the history of the football program this week. Cincinnati on Saturday night. What are the chances UCF, asking for all this attention, blow this game Saturday night?
Yeah, I mean, that's why they're there. You know, this is a big game. This validates a lot of everything they were saying. They've been saying that they are a big-time program. They deserve the attention. Disrespect is their, I think it's in their media guide on page 2. But none of it means anything unless they beat Cincinnati in that game and go ahead and win again. I looked it up last night. They've got the 13th longest winning streak in college football since the year 2000, and that's saying something. It really is put up or shut up time. But you know, good for them. Let them have a ball, and credit to ESPN for going there after they've been criticized too.
Dennis, growing up and playing in the old Pac-8 and my senior year Pac-10 and now where it is, I'm going back and really aging myself here. But Dennis, did you ever think, we talk about Washington State could be the best team in the Pac-12? Never thought. That. It's unbelievable. It really is.
Well, it didn't come out of nowhere. Last year, every team in the league lost at least 3 games. They were 1-8 in bowl games, didn't get to the playoffs. And even with Washington State, which is a great, great story, it doesn't look like it's going to happen again. Either Washington State's going to lose at some point, or even at 12-1, they're not going to be good enough to get into the top 4. But, yes, for the second straight year, I think it's now at least 11 of the 12 schools have lost 3 games in the second week of November. They've had scandal, if you remember, you know, regarding
right.
the general counsel calling in to get rid of the targeting file. And the football is just not very good. Their marquee teams aren't good. UCLA is 2-8 or 3-7. USC is 5-5 and considering firing its coach to the point that, God bless Herm Edwards, he still controls his own destiny. It is a Pac-12 championship game.
Let me ask you, because I know we take pride in always saying we're the best high school football, but in reality, mm-hmm. the place that's got 20, 25 million people, Southern California, I mean, it's just got so many high schools. A lot of players come out of there. I'm surprised, I really am, that they're not more dominant. At least USC, or who's always been able to get the players they want down there. What do you think's been the biggest problem why we don't have a dominant team right now in the Pac-12?
This is a macro view, and this is how I always answer this question in regards to the Pac-12. You know that saying in the SEC, it just matters more? In the Pac-12, it doesn't. And I'll tell you why. It goes to the presidential level. They just don't care about winning big time in football and basketball as other conferences do. It shows in facilities. It shows an effort, to get top coaches. It shows the ability to get money to be a top effort. You know, they are behind financially. If Urban Meyer came on the market today, to be able to pay him enough to bring him to the West Coast, just because they are lacking in that revenue. I think those presidents care more about volleyball championships than they do about football national championships, and we're going on 14 years now.
Wow.
Not all of them, but I think as a culture, it pervades. I think you see it. You see it every week on the screen. So, you know, great. This Washington State's an outlier. USC hasn't been consistent. Why is that? Well, everybody else is taking that network money and put it right into facilities, paying $10 million. And I'm not saying this is right or wrong. Paying coaches $10 million a year, and that gets results. It doesn't in the Pac-12.
That's interesting.
Yep.
Did not know that.
All right, Dennis, rank 1, 2, and 3. You cover lots of stuff, lots of press conferences, lots of games, ACC, SEC meetings, all this. 1, 2, and 3 of what you'd want to cover: a Mike Leach press conference, a Mike Gundy press conference, or spend all day on Zach Smith's Twitter page just following that.
Oh, God. Don't get me started about that.
I mean, have you ever seen anything like that? I've never seen anything like it where someone's just went that much off the rails.
And can we just ignore him? I mean, to give him attention and write about it is just, we're watching a human being melt down before our eyes, and there's really no news value to it. There's really no news value because there's no credibility in anything he says. Now, in response to the other two, I take a private plane and try to get both press conferences in one day, Gundy and Leach.
Yep. That's entertainment. I know that you're going to get something to write about, but both of them are entertaining just to watch on TV.
I'm going to go slightly ahead. I'm going to Washington State. I'm going up to Pullman.
To Leach?
Yep. I think Leach is... I want to get him in the Keys when he's down the Keys.
But what
and
if Gundy's pissed off? If Gundy's pissed off at something, it might be worth going to the Gundy press conference first. It's just amazing, those two guys, right?
You get a raspberry. You get a...
Oh, God. That is great stuff. All right, Dennis Dodd, national college football writer for CBSSports.com. We always appreciate the time, Dennis. Thanks, Dennis.
Hi, man. Thanks.
All right, Dennis Dodd out there on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Buy now and say big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
You know, I was thinking, and I didn't ask him, is UCF the best team in the Pac-12?
Oof. I mean, Pac-12 stinks right now.
No, I get it.
How about this? Can UCF be Washington State?
Because UCF plays a lot of the same kind of football that you see in the Pac-12.
How about Washington State and
UCF? I think
UCF?
FAU would be the best team in the Pac-12.
See, that conference is terrible. There you go. He's always got it.
I know. The downer.
I just said...
No, the Pac-12 is just terrible.
I would ask everybody if UCF... It's a compliment to UCF. UCF might be the best team. I never thought I'd say that, but I never thought Washington. I watched them play against Cal.
They look
terrible. USC's awful. USC got all those players in their backyard.
How are they bad?
By the way, they don't. You want to talk about not needing to leave your area?
How are they bad?
USC used to tell everybody, they go, "Who are you recruiting, USC?" And they go, Well, we're getting one kid out of the Bay Area, one kid in Sacramento, and we got everybody we want in L.A., all the five-star guys. Like, okay, now we'll recruit around that because there's plenty of guys. They're recruiting from an area six times bigger than this area. San Diego to Bakersfield. There's 20-something million people in that one
little area. They got the best of the best, and they still can't win games.
Anyway.
Can you imagine if the Hurricanes down here literally got the best of the best from Palm Beach to Adam Broward?
But, I mean, the best of the best. But USC's got the same problem that Miami has. Yeah. You can't get – and you try to get handpick and get the best, but you got everybody's brother coming in. Yeah. And a lot of guys are leaving the L.A. area and going other places, and we're going through that here, too.
Radio.com.
Join Alex Dotto as he broadcasts the Canes pregame show on 560 WQM at Milam's Market in Coconut Grove this Saturday from 11:30 to 2:30. Pick up everything you need for your tailgate and win WQAM street gear from the 411 Payne Street Team. That's this Saturday.
We got a lot of stuff, and you'll be hearing a lot about it today on the national news. The Le'Veon Bell, to see whether he signs his tag, franchise tag by 4 o'clock, or he's out for the year. The Carmelo Anthony story, and see if the Miami Heat have any interest. We'll probably find out a lot more about that today and tomorrow. We got another little story here in town that I wanted to bring up. You guys made me aware of it, and it was almost like taunting me.
So I don't know where you're going with this.
No, it has to do with David Sampson, who's now working at CBS here. And sending out a tweet about the rebranding and the Marlins. And I would just say this, and you can read some of the stuff, but David Sampson and Jeffrey Loria, really the two people that I don't want to hear from. Like, you got your money. One got his money. I don't know if he gave David any of the money or not.
Oh,
I don't,
you got David $5 million for sticking around for you. Give me a break.
Whatever it is, he ends up, and he did make $5 million a year as a president. I don't know if he got a long-term contract or what. That's none of my business, and I'm not a hater for what somebody makes. But don't be getting on a team you sold the money to. Yeah, the Moss family was a local money. You told them no, and you gave it because you were going to make extra money to this group. But don't be second-guessing what they're doing. David, you were part of the Marlins, and you're part of what ran baseball right down into the dirt in this town.
Not even a question.
And if you think because you had a productive outfield, look at your record, look at your image, look at the culture that you built, and everything else that everybody talks about in sports, you helped run it into the ground. You personally were a PR nightmare to be going after and saying anything about what this team's doing, which clearly is a rebuild. It's going to be more of a rebuild because they're getting rid of Realmuto as soon as he stops hitting home runs over in Japan. And he'll be coming back. They're definitely, I mean, he's gone. He's got a bunch of teams interested. They're going to get a lot for him from somebody's minor league, hopefully healthy minor league system, and get it. I don't like it all either. Listen, I wish you could have kept a couple of guys who were 26, 27 that had friendly contracts.
Yelich.
But it's not going to happen. But the one guy that needs to shut up and not talk about it is a guy that helped run baseball on the ground. And, David, your name's on it too. It's not just Jeffrey Loria. You're one of the most disliked human beings I've ever been around. Not just me personally, but a lot of people. So I really don't want to see you tweeting out anything about the Marlins.
Yeah.
And how you did it and it didn't work. Yeah, we know you did it and it didn't work. So don't get on somebody else.
It's bad. I'll read you the tweets and where it came from. Craig Mish, by the way, first tweeted out, Marlins' new branding plan for this upcoming week is unprecedented for this franchise. No idea how to be received or what the future holds, but from everything I hear, this group is really making a big effort on this one. So David Sampson quote tweeted it, and wrote on top of it, "I've tried the rebranding with payroll increase, new stadium, and big free agent signings. Didn't work. Now we'll see if the rebrand with payroll decrease, trading of an all-star, but the addition of a standing room millennial section works. Hashtag wait to see."
At least they're trying some things, considering they don't have. And I go back to every team. It's still about winning and having star players and all that stuff and a combination of it. But I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear from David Sampson about that piece of art crap that was out and left the center field.
The only one that cared about that was Loria. No one else cared about that piece
Sampson
of art.
Had a comment,
okay,
too,
so
about
Loria
it.
And Sampson, that's
but,
it.
But like, this guy's like, I think he's a make-believe world about his own image. He's another guy needs to look in the mirror.
Oh, he doesn't care.
Even if you got to move that mirror down a little bit to look at it.
No, that's not nice. Look at Hollywood clapping.
Like, he's just a weasel. And like, I thought maybe the weasel would leave in him, and it just comes back. Like, you shouldn't have any comment. Baseball, you and your, what I forget what is, it used to be his kind of.
What would have been his stepfather. Now it's his, you know. Former
stepfather. He divorced his mom, but the kids, but they were grandma
buddy?
And grand. I don't know if the kids are still calling
him. Half-grandfather?
I don't know what they call it. But,
half-dad?
But anyway, they weren't very liked for what they did.
What do you mean not very liked? No one liked them. Don't
being
say not
nice.
Very, yeah,
trying to be nice.
You can't be nice with that.
Those two were a PR nightmare.
They're the worst owner and team president or whatever you want to call
it. Hell, it's bad when you know
ever.
Your neighbors don't like you. Of course, I got a few neighbors that don't like me either.
Well, I mean, that's normal.
Oh, God.
Not every neighbor is going to like each other. The difference is that David Sampson tried to hold this city hostage for a stadium. Came out in the press.
He got the stadium.
But this is before it. Came out in the press and said, baseball's dead or we'll die down here in South Florida. We're moving to Portland. We're moving to San Antonio. Yeah. We're going to look at Las Vegas. We're going to find it unless you build us a stadium. That's it. Like, it's done. It's dead. How about before that with just the attendance?
But Zach,
no one was going to games before that anyway.
But, Zach, in fairness, I give David Sampson credit for those idiots in Dade County that—
Oh, no, I'm not just blaming David Sampson for that.
And the old mayor.
Anyone
the
in mayor Dade County—
The mayor that did steroids and lifted a lot of weights.
Yeah,
what the hell was his name?
I don't even remember his name.
I'm joking. Don't look it up. I was just
I'm not looking
smart
it up.
Ass.
I'm not that smart.
Anyway, I think
just David Sampson at this point should just go away.
Well, he's not going to go away. He's talking
just
about all sports
away.
Now and does baseball stuff.
Go move to France.
I always wonder, do you think Danny Cannell and those guys like him?
I would say 50-50.
Danny's actually a nice guy. And gets
Danny is a
everybody.
Nice guy. Danny trolls a lot of people on Twitter, but he does like – he is a nice dude. And so is Raja. Raja Bell's a nice guy also. Raja Bell probably has no idea about all the hatred towards David Sampson. That's the difference. And it's not Raja's fault. He's just not – maybe not into it all, but – if you've been in the sports scene and seen what David Sampson's done over the last decade or so down here.
I just love that David Sampson brings up the we had a new stadium, and you're like, yeah, and that stadium went over. That was a big hit with a lot of people.
Yeah.
When they got that through, there are a lot of people really fired up about that lifelong bill that everybody will be paying for in Dade County.
Yeah,
that really turned a lot of people on.
Let's tear down the Orange Bowl. And put up the spaceship stadium that no one goes to. That really worked over well with the Dade County people.
I will say one thing. It is a nice stadium.
Of course it's nice. It's brand new, basically.
It could have been. It,
when
it
you get a
nice.
Brand new car, it's nice, too, for a while.
It is nice. So anyway, I just.
But no one goes.
Just David, find something. We can't get you out of town here, and we realize you're going to stay. But maybe you ought to rebrand yourself instead of worrying about how to help the Marlins rebrand and whether it's going to work or not. Just don't have any comments about your team because you're the biggest disaster. You're a bigger disaster than anything they've done.
Correct.
Just starting with, let me see, David Sampson, Derek Jeter. Okay. All right.
Carlos Alvarez, by the way.
Yeah,
the texters went again.
Oh, yeah. No, I knew
the texters went again. I know.
He looked at me on the one day. I think I'd been zapping him pretty good. And he looked at me on the elevator at a Marlins game one day, and he was just.
You have his shirt off?
No, but he looked like he's ready to fight me. Like, he just had that look. He's just a miserable-looking dude, just ready to fight. I go, Jesus, man, you ought to cut back on the steroids if you're going to have this kind of attitude. Jeez.
He really turned into, like, I mean, almost like a sculpture.
But even looking when Lorianne Sampson got the team, their relationship with Dade County, starting with Mayor Jimenez, like, it was just bad. Like, we just built you this, whether we voted for it or against it or in. Like, you ought to try being nice to people, man. Getting a little support behind you.
They didn't care.
Why would you not want people in your own city, in your own county?
They didn't
to
care.
Like you.
They never cared. They didn't care what people thought.
It's exactly right.
They didn't care.
David Sampson, just kind of like how you feel about him. Like, he really doesn't care. He honestly, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's good to, like, walk around and whether somebody likes you or not, you just don't care.
I remember going on the stadium tour before that stadium was built.
It's been way too much.
Walking around with hard hats, walking around with other media members, and David Sampson was leading the tour. And unfortunately, I was standing next to you, and David Sampson came and said hello to everyone but our section. And I'm only guessing that.
I didn't remember that, but you're still hurt by that. Well, he didn't like me.
Oh, I didn't care.
David Sampson.
I just thought it was funny because he hated you.
David Sampson
hated
didn't
your guts.
Like, he didn't
hated your guts. Anyone that was standing near you did not. He didn't even come near our little section.
David Sampson.
You said hi to Dave Hodge.
I'm going to say David Sampson didn't like me.
Yeah,
and hated for good
your
reason.
Yeah, hated your guts.
Because I've said a lot of mean things about him.
and
apparently I still am. Just shut up, David. Just go away. Jump in your nice car. Go down to CBS. Do your little piece and go home. Hey, we got 9 o'clock hour coming up here. We got a lot more stuff.
Hated you. I mean, like, vicious hate. Like I hate your ex-wife or something. Not yours. I'm not saying yours. I don't mean that because that's really hitting hard. But I'm just saying, you know.
There you go.
Just like hate. Like when you hate that guy from high school. Used to
I got
to
tell you something. We got a guy coming up next everybody likes right at 9 o'clock. Omar Kelly.
President of the Jordan Phillips fan club. Omar Kelly.
I'd love to ask the team, would you like to have him back?
I would like to have. Can I stand
would
in line
Would you like
for that?
To have him back? Would
I'm
you
standing
like to
in line.
Would you like to have him back? Could you put up with a little bit of his junk and have him back? Hey, 9 o'clock hour coming up with Omar Kelly. A lot more stuff to get to. We'll check in on the very busy text machine, the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line 56022. It's always refreshing to see what everybody's talking about.
Is it?
I don't know.
I read them. It's not always refreshing.